Here we go.
You didn't miss a whole lot, Murph.
1983.
Five. Yeah, there were some good people there, but go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Joel, for your permission. Why don't you give me a count around?
2, 3, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime! That's how I got hired at Chippendales.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies down a Lincoln path. But the stream is go direct to DLNGS.org. And I see channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 983. How about that, Flawless?
I was gonna say, there we go. So happy to hear that's back to normal.
Best audio ever.
Yeah, thank you, Joel. Thanks for the help there. All right. It's episode 983. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Hello, everyone.
We have Pat.
Only 2 weeks to go, man. It's end of the year.
Yeah, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Still have presents to wrap.
And Blast from the Past, Rich.
Wow, I'm past? Okay.
Well, I mean, it's been a while.
More than like once this year.
Yep, and Joe's like a robot.
And Joe's roboting.
Am I roboting?
Yeah, you
are. Oh, yeah. Well, that was good. Yeah.
You were.
Yeah. So, one thing I wanted to bring up, because I've been doing this a lot, is it easy to teach an old dog new tricks?
No.
I, on my team, primarily work with operations, side of things and automation, assisting the developers, but I do get my hands dirty in some of the development work. And now, you know, since I've been doing a lot more of that, the team has switched largely to using Visual Studio Code, and I'm a VI person, which I love VI, and I use it for most everything. But I picked up some tickets. Now, Visual Studio Code has similar functionalities to almost any other text-based editor, or text editor, I guess you could call it, that has ample plugins for various different languages that turns it into more of an IDE for any said language. Node, PHP is primarily what we use it for, or the team does. We used to use, the team used to be heavily into WebStorm for node development and PHP.
Uh-oh.
I got him.
Oh, no, I pressed the control button. I muted myself. So the team used to be heavily into WebStorm for node development and PHP Storm for the PHP side of things. But both of those applications come with a license cost, whereas stuff like Atom and Visual Studio, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other ones out there. I JEdit's popular, but I do believe for enterprise use, or business use, you have to have a license, but it's free for personal use, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm sure there's a few others out there. I've used a lot of them in the past to give them a spin, and every one of them has a Vim plugin, which allows you to use a lot of the same key bindings that Vim uses or VI uses to manage the editor, move around, navigate, cut and paste, stuff like that, similar stuff. I always found that while they do a pretty good job, it's not like being inside of VI, which is where I'm a lot more comfortable. Where I would say that these tools really start to shine is with debugging and being allowed to set breakpoints where the application, you can start it up and it would go to the breakpoint and stop. And then you can, if you have multiple breakpoints, you can step through them and look at the data inside the application as it's running, look at how things are being transformed, what values you're getting. That's great. Can you do that in VI? Maybe. I don't know. I never really looked into it. But there's a whole lot of other stuff that comes along with it too, like syntax validation and like lookup and stuff like that, where you can
AI.
Yeah, AI. You can hover over stuff and get definitions and explanations, and it can link to other parts of the application. But I don't know. I mean, one of the tickets I picked up was something that these tools do. Now, I'm specifically speaking for doing this under Node.js and our Node.js application development. We use NPM, and inside of package.json, there's other tools that you can use too, but NPM is the one that they standardized on. And inside of package.json, you can have scripts in there that allow you to just execute like certain NPM commands and either to start the application up or to do run it through certain tests like unit testing with Mocha or integration end-to-end testing with Cypress, lint testing with ESLint, all sorts of things that you can put in there in the scripts. And what NPM, when you do it that way, what it allows you to do is basically with a Node application, when you install what's called installing it, the package JSON lists all its dependencies. All those dependencies get installed in that application directory under a Node modules directory, unless you're installing them globally, which is really not the way that you do it, so that each Node application contains everything inside it and needs to run. So instead of having to manage all those with a path, the different pathings, you can use a tool like NPM, Node Package Manager, to control all that. So instead of having to type in the full path into the Node modules or into like nodemodules.bin in that directory, you can just type NPM and then the commands, and if it's in the, you know, the Node NPM bin, it knows all where how to execute all that stuff. And it makes it a little more easier. You can set all that stuff up inside of the IDE of your choice, which I had to do this week, standardizing them across all our applications. And I thought it was pretty interesting. It got me into using it a little more. I don't know. It's a tough call. I really am adept at using VI. I'm fast with using VI. It's accessible across just about every system I use, except on a lot of the containerized applications. They are very slim that we have, so VI may not be installed because you're generally not editing anything directly on a container. Right. Unless I'm testing something out. I may do that.
BI is great in like a terminal and all that, but if you're needing to do like if you really need assistance with like some of the syntax and stuff, then you're probably better looking at something like I use Visual Studio when I do go into YAML. I don't do it as much on my new team, but I still have it installed. Plus. That's another good one. I use BB Edit. You're
looking for something open source.
Right.
I use BB Edit all the time.
Yes, Sublime Text is very good.
That's the one I was thinking of, Rich. I couldn't remember. Is that Mac. One of those that are free for personal use, but
yep.
But if yep. you're a business, it's a license. I thought Sublime was cross-platform.
It is, I think. I've never used it.
Okay.
Well, it definitely is a available on OS X. That's actually where I found it. I never used it on Windows because Notepad++ is pretty decent too. But so I mean, it's you know, I just needed something that would replace Notepad++, and that's one of the ones I found.
I do want to say that I've never been good with Vim or Emacs, but I've seen like the power users that use Vim and Emacs.
Oh yeah.
And it's absolutely insane just how quickly they can make it through a document, find anything in a document, modify. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh god, I haven't used Emacs since the Amiga days.
The Emacs. Emacs, where your editor is also an operating system. I'm exaggerating, of course, but
man, there's always something to learn in VI, and I'm sure there's always something to learn in Emacs too. I love it.
I begrudgingly use VI when I have to, but yeah, not the playground I want to play in.
Yeah. If Nano doesn't come up, then yeah, I'm gonna go straight for Vim.
Nano
or VI.
Or gedit if you're really, really, if you're on a Linux desktop or something with an X system is a good bare bones one.
What is this X system you speak of?
Yeah, I'm talking if I'm SSH'd into something. I mean,
yes.
If I wanted a desktop and I was remote, I'd just use X to go and then, you know, have a full-on desktop. But I'm not going to do that for editing one file.
Well, right. And you can, if you have SSH access, you can.
Well, yeah, you
forward can. Forward over SSH, but it's a pain in the ass.
So, just so you guys know what kind of whore I am, I'll copy and paste things out of Nano and edit them in Sublime Text and then copy and paste it back into Nano.
God, that sounds like something I'd do.
Why? Because does it automatically put in the white space and
just for VI user Nano is kind of cheating, but when you're used to modern conventions, cursor movements and all of
control
that,
control C, control V.
I find myself, you know, while I know how to use Nano, but I find myself effing up, acting as though it's a GUI type thing. Well,
control C and control V still works in Nano.
I just
have to put a shift in it.
As I say.
Well, yeah, and control K and control U. But if I'm going to do any serious editing of a file, yeah, I'll do it in something else.
Right.
But so I have been playing with some early releases of the 16 gigabyte of RAM Radaxa Rock 5B.
Ooh.
And I designed a 3D printed some cases. So
nice.
They work really good with an NVMe. I actually have Open Media Vault. I modified installation of Open Media Vault to run on one that I booted with Debian, and that's going good. I threw that into my production, my Umlab production.
Interesting.
And I'm running a bunch of Docker containers on another one right now that I'm going to throw.
That's what I was going to ask, because I do that with my Pi 3. That's how I'm running MB, which is a media server. That's running in a Docker container.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I do want to set up a Docker swarm of these guys, and I talked to some people at Radaxa, or however you want to say it, and they say they're going to be doing a UEFI boot in the future, and they do plan on ESXi being able to run on it.
Well, there you go.
So that's cool AF, and I'm still very clumsy with Docker, so a couple of times I almost reached out to Joe for help.
I quit playing with Docker a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah, you still probably only know four times as much as I do that.
Well, honestly, the person you should be asking anymore is Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, yeah. I'd have to talk to Dan then.
Dan the Docker Man.
Dan the Docker Man.
Do you just use Docker? What's the? Isn't Docker Architect? Rancher? No. I don't know.
I was trying to get Yacht to work. I had mixed results with that.
Yeah.
You've been doing a lot of Docker config, haven't you, Dan?
What do you mean by Docker config?
Or what's it called? Where you're building your own? Huh?
Oh.
Just Docker
Compose. There you go.
Compose. You know what? That's what I was thinking of. Docker Compose.
Yeah, Compose.
I haven't used. I really haven't used Docker Compose. I've just used Docker files to build our Docker containers.
Okay.
I should check out Docker Compose, but.
You guys don't use Kube yet, do you, Dan?
What's that?
Kubernetes.
Yeah, we're on Google Kubernetes.
Okay.
So I got a couple of like home lab questions, and tell me if I'm doing it right or wrong. For years I've used Observium, but Uptime Kuma looks pretty cool. I think I'm going to be running both. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I've never actually run either of those two technologies.
Yeah,
what's the benefit to using one over the other, would you say?
So Uptime Kuma is a little... I've been using Observium. Observium is basically SNMP monitoring. But Uptime Kuma will do it from multiple different things, like just a ping. It'll do it from an HTML. It can look for a response. It has multiple different types of notifications. So I use Pushbullet. So all of my 3D printers, I have Octopi on, and I'm running Pushbullet notifications off my 3D printers. So I'm just familiar with that architecture. Oh, and finally, I haven't talked about lab stuff because I've been on the show in like a year. I have Pi Zeros set up with NUT, which is network UPS tool. And so my Pi Zeros are hooked up to my UPSs, and with agents on, well, my Intel ESXi hosts, it'll shut them down. And I threw agents on basically everything else that's Linux in my infrastructure, and it shuts them down. But the ESXi on ARM will not shut down with the NUT agent, even though it looks like it installs properly. So I actually set up Ansible on the Pi Zero, and that'll shut down my ESXi ARM cluster. And I also threw in there, so with like a wget or a curl, you can push out Pushbullet messaging. So I have my NUT installation. It'll send messages to my phone through Pushbullet, which is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, so, I've seen people have it set up with their home automation so that it announces on all of your devices that the print's finished, whatever.
My family dislikes me enough. I don't think I want to drive the nail in that coffin.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good idea.
What, they don't want to know when the print's finished? They can go get it for you.
It's bad enough when I use my iRobot MopBot thingy, that's mapping my home. and
there's
it says
nothing
it's
cooler
finished.
Than getting a picture of your finished print on your watch.
Okay.
I think I'd have to get a newer watch.
Yeah, I'd have to get something other than Wise Watch. Yeah, I have my Wise Watch, but I'm seriously thinking about sometime next year grabbing the Pixel Watch.
Still got the Gear S3 Frontier.
That's what I got.
Oh, and you can... Well, I guess some of them do show a picture, but like a lot of the stuff I get, it just says you have an attachment.
Right.
Oh. Hmm. Yeah. I'd like to get a newer watch. Not that there's anything wrong with my older watch, but the newer watches don't have the rotating bezel. I'm assuming they're probably going to come out with a premium version that does that.
Eventually, one day, hopefully. Well, they didn't do that with the 4. They're already coming out with the 5, aren't they?
Yeah. I just like the rotating bezel. That seemed like a real smart way to do things.
Yeah, but it is one of the things that breaks on a lot of the S3 Frontier.
Dude, I am like the acid test of watches. If it hasn't broken on mine, it has not broken for anybody.
Well, I had 2 S3 Frontiers. I still do have 2, but I'm only using one of them right now. Because the other one, the buttons went out.
Yeah.
I am shocked. This thing's been flawless. It has a bit of a patina because I bash it into things, and I kind of enjoy it.
Mine has a screen protector. Glass, tempered glass screen protector.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, on a watch?
My best, yeah. The glass, actually, there's only one scratch in it. I'm just running my finger over it right now. It's not quite as nicely battle-worn as one of my Glock 19s, but...
Yeah, my Michael Kors Wear OS watch, I can't even get through half a day with the battery on it, so it's pretty much done.
Well, my S3 will still do like 2 days, 3 days before I need to charge it. Even with doing things like going for bike rides, going for walks, crap like that. But I replaced the battery. So.
Right. I'm disappointed with Wise, though, because they have basically done nothing with the freaking watch.
Yeah, my Wise watch just sits on the pedestal I printed most part.
I mean, my biggest complaint with it is it takes too fucking long to charge from nothing. Oh my god, it's like... Yeah, it takes a long time.
I'll tell you what, I've got the Wise outdoor cameras. The pictures on them are nice.
Yeah, well, see, but those, you don't really care about them updating it too much. You just care that they freaking work, you know?
and that's another cool thing. So I'm also running, and it's an ARM, there's an ARM version of the Docker container. There's a Wise hub that allows you to get an RTSP stream out of it. So I see all of my cameras. I have 11 cameras around the house, 3 Wise and 8 on another system. And they're all integrated into Home Assistant. So they all have the same look and feel to them, and they're all in one place, which is cool AF. And right now I don't have my Google Coral looking for people in cars right now.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of tragedies post the second hurricane that hit my neighborhood. And they were all data center related.
Ooh.
Hence me setting up the nut on the UPS.
Redexa.
And having everything shut down nicely from now on.
Yep. I would just like things to return to semi-normal so I can find pies again. I'm going to have to start buying some of those.
They made an announcement the other day.
Oh, they did.
They said no pie for you.
Yeah, they said it was going to be 2024 before they said third quarter of 2023.
So basically never.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, let's see, how do I say this? First off, Raspberry Pi isn't the first, just like Apple isn't the first to do MP3 players. But they did so much for it.
Yes. It's the community. Right. That's what we always end up coming back to with
It's kind of like having an Ender 3 printer. Everybody has one.
Right.
They're not the greatest printer, but, you know, they're low cost and easy to get parts for. And if you find a problem, if you find a problem, there's somebody that's worked on it before.
Right. And, like, I have an Ender 7 now, and it's like, go F yourself. You're not finding that. But if you have an Ender 3, you got everything you need. Raspberry Pi made it, definitely community, the big thing, resources. Everybody has something available for it. It's really, you know, earth-shattering what they did. Not that they were the first, but they were the most first widely accepted, widely populous, most popular computer in the world, period. But, And they're great for so many things, and I'm not knocking them.
Right.
But this drought is really going to kill them in things like the Redaxa, or however you want to say it, Rock 5B. 16 gigs of RAM? Are you effing kidding me? And I have an NPU on board. It's like, holy effing cow. The things I can do with it. Look, my Mac that's now 10 years old, my Mac only has 16 gigs of RAM. So I got a number of boards kicking around with 16 gigs of RAM, and I am not going to run out of resources.
Well, and I use ARM-based products daily. And I'm not just talking about my phone. Rich, I switched to the Mac for my work machine, and I got the M1 Pro in it, and it's fan-freaking-tastic.
I was going to get
wonderful.
That. And then they came out with the M2, and with the M2, they went back to the touch bar, and I'm like, no, I want MagSafe, and I want function buttons.
Yeah, the Pro
so when they have MagSafe and
function
buttons.
Yeah. I mean, mine has MagSafe, but I can always just, in fact, actually, I have a
USB-C.
Yeah, well, here's the story. My company won't send out. Yeah, right. My company won't did not list a dock for the Macs when you chose a Mac. All right, so and I'm like, I put it in there. Says ship me this dock because my thought was because they basically said to go to Staples and you can order a dock, and I'm like. Yeah, but the only thing is that when you do that, you know, I can.
Oh, you're
do
talking.
That.
Your company sent you a Mac, but they didn't send
correct.
You a dock. Okay.
Well, no, I'm getting to that. So when I put my request in, I said, "Hey, and if you can include a dock, that's great." All right. You know, so when they were getting ready to send it to me, the tech that was doing the setup said, "Well, we don't have docks that we can just send out with these, but I can send you one of the Dells," and I'm like, "Go for it!" And I did, and it works wonderfully. It's a Thunderbolt 3 dock, and it just plugs right into the Thunderbolt port, and it works fine with the Mac. It's perfect. It's got Ethernet on it. It's got the HDMI port, so that I can plug in an external monitor, which is the main reason I wanted it. I didn't want to go through dongle hell. They actually did ship like a default dongle, like one of the Apple ones. I don't use it. Well, I might if I go to corporate, and right now on the new team, I probably will be going to Virginia in September, I think, for a week. But anyway, I am very,
where
very
in Virginia
pleased
are you going?
Reston, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, a little far from you. it's not going to happen. Yeah, Now I am on the global support team, they'll call it Action Line, and my team explicitly deals with the hosted clients on the managed cloud. And eventually we're going to be doing support for the SaaS teams as well. So we're operating 24/7 with three people currently covering the North America, me and two others. And then my manager, whom I've worked with almost 20 years, I worked with her when I worked at Columbus State whenever we had support issues. So I trust her very highly, and I really enjoy being part of the new team, even though it's wasn't real warm and fuzzy about making the move. But doing the work now, I'm pretty happy, you know. Had to go back on call. But it's like once every 3 weeks, hopefully soon to be once every 4 weeks. And we're the backup
fucking
for
bastards.
I know, right?
Once every 3 weeks.
Oh, and the best part is I only have to deal with our products. So if one of our clients accidentally gets a case into our queue for one of the third-party stuff, I immediately send it back over to the engineers, and they have to do it. So... But so far I'm having a great job with it. And to go back to the ARM, Apple has just knocked out Dr. Silicon completely out of the park for the desktop quality stuff. I mean, no complaints.
I definitely want an M1 M2, but you know, I was ready to buy an M1 MacBook Pro, and I got my daughter one.
Yep.
But when they have, I think in the spring they're going to be coming out with an M2. With
they are.
Function keys and all of that, and when that
yep,
comes
M2
out,
Pro.
I'll jump on it.
Yep, Yep, and the surprising thing is Microsoft can't seem to get their stuff off the ground with it. I mean, the Surface Pro X is ARM, but I don't think it's anywhere close in performance to any of the Apple silicon. So,
before we go off the topic, you mentioned docks.
Right.
So I have a USB-C. So it plugs into my work laptop USB-C, and then I have power going into that, two HDMI, mouse, keyboard, dongle, all that crap. So it's just one plug, and boom, my work laptop has two monitors, power, yep, keyboard, mouse. I'll tell you the cool thing about that, going back to the Radaxa Rock 5B, with...
Works for that too?
Yes. Yeah, with, yep, not Debian, what's the other one? Ubuntu. Ubuntu, I cool, could plug in, use both monitors, keyboard, mouse, everything, power, all from the USB-C. So it's a USB-C, I guess, on the go port, not just power. And one
basically
big thing,
any USB-C, well, I guess maybe some come that only do power, but basically any USB-C that does power usually does data as well. So they all work as an OTG.
Right.
Okay, and the Radaxa, you have to have a minimum, I forget the amperage and I forget the standard, but it's got to have minimum of 9-volt USB-C. So if you have something that's a USB-C connector,
that will only do
5 volt.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Yeah, that's not,
I guess, I just
work,
always,
yeah,
make sure to buy them that have the PD.
Yeah, or is it,
yeah,
PD1, PD2, PD3? Is that what they call it?
It's,
yeah,
good,
no,
question.
It's QCs have the numbers. I don't know about PD. I always see it as PD,
it's...
and then QC either 2 or QC3.
It's wattage, I think. It's the, you know, and there's
well,
like, yeah.
So the USB-C standard, I mean, I'd have to pull up a Wikipedia page, so I'm not talking out my butthole on this. But there's different voltages and amperages you'll push out. And
right,
if you have one of those that, let's say it's a USB-A to USB-C cable, yeah, you're not going to power your Radaxa with it.
Right.
I need to see if, who is it? Sateki has a 4-port USB-C 165-watt charger. I have to look and see what wattage
you
can do.
You should get the one from Pine 64.
I love Pine stuff.
I have to look at that.
Like,
yeah.
Pine is always good.
Yeah, their little power block that they have works really well. It powers my Dell from work. It powers a bunch of my tablets that use USB-C. Basic. It will do 20 volts. Easy.
Okay. So 119. This does. See, one port is 100 up to 100 watts. The next port is 100 watts or 60 watts. Because it depends on if you have the 100-watt port plugged in. Then the other one does 60 watts, or 45, 100. So basically on up to three different ports can do 100, but you can only do up to 165 watts total.
What
now,
does that cost?
It's 119. And I'm wondering if it would power five... of the USB-C based Pis. I think would.
Joe, am I looking at the right thing? The Pine Power is only $37.
Yeah, but it only has the one slot that does the PD.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of
that
them are just...
That might be why I don't want to look at it.
Well, it's got the one slot that does USB-C PD, and then it's got one slot, mm-hmm, that does fast charging for regular USB, and then three other slots that are just 5 volt, I think, up to like
all
2
right,
amp. So there's one that'll do,
yeah,
what, 15
I did hunt
volts
around for a while on Amazon and found something that had like a 2-port USB-C PD, whatever standard that powers the Radaxa.
Yeah, so only two of those slots, I think, would power Redaxa, because you said they needed at least 15 volts.
9 volts, yeah.
Okay, 9 volts. So the fast charging USB and then the USB-C should both be able to, but that's still only, you know, two, but it is still a third the cost of the one that Joel mentioned.
Right.
Yeah, for the most part.
You can get cheaper ones, but you gotta be careful with that stuff. Don't buy any cheap, there's one here I'm looking at, USB-C charger, Suckrack 170, a weird ass name on it, for $56. But can it do what it's saying it can do? I mean, it might
be able to do it the first time you plug it in, but
right,
you plug in your stuff, it stops.
Yeah, and that's why I'm looking at either Anchor. Actually, Anchor doesn't really have
Anchor. Screw the pooch, they're dead to me.
But yeah, didn't they have a major security breach or something?
Well, it's only on their cameras, the Eufy cameras. Yeah. Yeah, so the chargers are probably pretty safe, but I'm with you.
I have no idea what kind of fanboy of Anchor I was.
I know.
The number of Anchor products I had and the recommendations I've made for Anchor products, top
over the years,
power
yeah.
vaults, all that.
Come to think
supplies,
of it,
USB.
I'm trying to think. I have.
I think I only ever had their batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had. I have had their batteries. I have.
Is it because of the security breach or because of how they responded to it?
Both.
See, I can understand security breach. They happen. But it's how you come back from that really matters.
That's right. Right. So I have a rat power.
They're a scummy company. Short. Sweet.
Yep.
Done.
Yeah.
I have a Rav Power one, and I actually mm-hmm. come to think of it, I don't use any Anchor battery packs. I have a lot of the little dongle chargers.
I have Rav Power. I really like my Rav Power.
Rav Power's not.
I'm disappointed they're not on Amazon anymore. But
yeah, they have their own store now.
I have found Tech Smarter batteries are really good. I have two of them. I have one, and I thought I had lost it or misplaced it, so I ordered another one. Went to church, and the one pastor said, "Hey, I found this. Is this yours?" I'm like, "Yep, it was mine." So I have two of them. So I have three or four of the big, 16,500. I mean, they're huge. I mean, they will charge my phone multiple times, and they will charge the iPad, too. So it's Anchor... as long as it's if it's just a charger or something, I'll still buy them. I never bought the Eufy cams anyway, and I always had the
Hey, look, everybody's welcome to whatever they want. For me, it's a boycott of their product line because of what they did.
Right, I'm with you. Yeah,
yeah. I'm voting with my money. They're not getting any more of my money.
Yep. To be honest, I haven't ordered since for any of their stuff. Since, but that's just because I haven't needed any. But I have a bunch of
Can I ask you guys a question? And I'm just wondering if I'm the slowest horse across the finish line on this one. Are any of you familiar with Heimdall?
Heimdall.
You're seeing God?
Not normally.
from the MCU, but...
So, Heimdall... I'm running it as a Docker container. So Heimdall is basically a dashboard for your home infrastructure, and it gives you just a web page that you can configure with all of your crap. So I can click Home Assistant, Observium, Plex, Octoprint.
Okay, I think I have heard of it somewhere now that you mentioned it, what it does. Yeah.
I was looking for something like this for a stupid long time. I'm sorry, I talked over you. What were you saying?
Is it related to Grafana?
Grafana's for visualization, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so Heimdall's like a home dashboard for all of the web apps that you have running in your home infrastructure.
Oh, okay.
So I just find it because I'm like, oh, what was the IP address? On what port was that? Oh, shit, I don't know.
You know what I do? I go into my router and I set up a DHCP so that it gives the same freaking IP address. And
I mean, I do. I also did swap out a router recently.
Right.
So.
Oh, well, that sucks. So, yeah. Okay. Okay, I get it then. but I'm kind of, because I'm kind of with you with that. But see, I don't think, I don't have, like, now I don't have the home automation stuff yet because basically most of it goes through the spy devices, and I'm pretty much fine with that because at least my family will use those. Whereas if I set up something else open source, they would not.
But, yeah, it depends on what trigger name you use.
This is true. but yeah, so
I just thought it useful because
with that,
you have stuff with apps running in, you know, so like I have Spaghetti Detective, Open Media Vault, TrueNAS, my vCenter, Gatia. Like I said, Home Assistant, Plex, Observium, my Octoprint instances. So I could just, like, pop open a browser, click on it, boom. I mean, I guess I could just simply bookmark it.
Rich, since you've mentioned it a couple of times, I wanted to say that since I couldn't find more pies, I used Oct4A, and I have Octoprint installed on an Android phone.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Wow. Somebody recently reached out to me about that. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
It works really well on newer phones. I couldn't get it to work on older phones.
All right, so what kills me, what was it? It was the Pine Rock 64, not the Rock Pro. But there was the, what was the... So there was some home network device, network security device, and they were blowing them out. So it was a case, a power supply, a 1 gig version of the Pine Rock 64. And they're blowing them out for like $20 a couple years back. So I bought two of those, and I'm using those for Octoprint. So I load DietPie and then Rock, I install Octoprint from DietPie. But yeah, if you're into Octoprint or Clipper or whatever it is, you're screwed if you're looking to use Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
And don't already have a whole slew of them stack sitting over in the corner.
Right. Or get lucky and visit Raspberry Pi Locator and all of a sudden you found some. Oh, you're not now.
Well,
no.
My wife.
You can.
My wife went to Micro Center the other day to, get me a Christmas present, and it just happened to be that she was going to go get me some Raspberry Pis. And she was the third person in line, and basically the first two people bought them out of Raspberry Pis.
Yep, there's that.
Like, how many are you talking about?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Oh, okay. I was just curious, like, did they buy 10 each, or, what?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
Yep. So... Since you probably played with more of the alternatives, Rich, if you're normally, like Joe and I, normally Raspberry Pi guys, what would be a good alternative? The Redaxa that you were talking about, or is there something better or
Redaxa,
something similar?
That's a little bit pricey.
Right.
So pretty much anything Pine I can recommend. And most of the Odroids are real good.
The Odroids are a little bit more costly, though, as well, aren't they?
Yeah, but sometimes they're available. And, unfortunately, we're not in that $30, $40 Raspberry Pi world anymore.
I have seen the Banana Pi Zeros for about that 30 to 35 range. But I haven't tested any of them. I haven't, dropped the hammer on any of them to test them out. But they're supposed to be, like, the same form factor, and they are supposed to be able to run, like, everything that the Raspberry Pi can, and then there's also, like, an Android build for them or something?
Yeah. I'm not hands-on with any of those, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. There's a Redaxa Zero, which I haven't used. That's $20. I'm looking at Ameridroid.com. The Odroid XU4 and the Odroid N2 are definite staples. I would have zero hesitation in recommending any of those to people. The Pines, let's see.
You need to do a blog post.
Yeah. So anything Pine, I have, you know, no reservations recommending. And I do have, I've got a couple of Pine Rock 64s. And I've got one Pine, let's see, it's the Pine Pro or Rock Pro 64. And that actually has a PCI slot on it, which is kind of cool.
Ooh.
So you can drop SATA cord. I've thrown SATA cards and USB-C cards on it.
Now, Pine64.com, I actually went there not to look for what you were just talking about, but I just happened to see that they have the PineBook Pros in stock.
Oh, no way.
219. Yeah, 219. They ship from Hong Kong.
Yeah, all right. So I'm looking at Ameridroid. The Pine Rock Pro 64, the 2-gig version is $79.95. And then there's a 4-gig version. It does use, like, a proprietary Canon connector. And I don't want to say proprietary, meaning, hey, if you got the
barrel
plug diameter and, you know, voltage and watts right, got it. So basically, and there's no Wi-Fi on board. So you would need, like, a case, if there's a case available, print a case, design a case, or, just Ethernet, and that's it, and the thing will run.
Pine64.com, the ROCK 64 4 gig is $44.95, which is not horrible.
Which is still better than anything you can find with a Raspberry Pi right now.
There, I think I have. Let me go back. Let me go back to the listing. Oh, never mind. I'll stop. Sorry. But okay, it gives me a short list of stuff to try. But I think that's the hard part now. Is because Raspberry Pis, they do have the mind share, and the support in the community and.
It's like in the 70s having a Chevy 350.
Right. The choices here, though, are like of alternatives are vast, and the support can be mixed, you know, mixed. You know, so, I mean, that's going to be, it's going to be hard for people wanting single board computers that are as easy as a Raspberry Pi. You're going to have to build a lot of your own stuff on here, you know, as long as you got a bare OS that's decent, you know, Debian or whatever, you should be able to build what you need, but it ain't gonna be like go to website, download image for Home Assistant, copy to SD card and boot it. You know, it's not gonna be that easy.
So my solution to that is DietPi. So DietPi, if you go through that, they have DietPi versions for almost every single board computer. Also, Armbian. So that's another good one. And so those two distros will get you almost everything you need.
Yep. But if you can do apt-get install on an Intel computer, you can do it here. So, I mean, you know, that's the thing. You know, but...
Yeah. The... you know, DietPi, I sometimes have a love-hate relationship with, but realistically, if you want to do something menu-driven and just, like, pretty much a few clicks to install something, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
I had to... I got Open Media Vault running on the Redaxa ROCK 5B, but I had to edit the installation script a little bit to get it to run. But I mean, I got it to run. It's just a shell script, and if you know as little as I know about shell scripting, you're fully capable of making it work.
And on the other, I was gonna say, on the other side, on the Docker side of that, on the other stuff, it's not gonna be like Intel, where you have a whole bunch of pre-built stuff that you can rely on out there. You may have to build your own container depending on the platform. You know, so Ambia did not have to build; it was already out there for the Raspberry Pi. So that's what I have on my own V server, but
the fact that you can put some
NVMe on some of these, that is attractive.
Oh yeah, the NVMe. So I've got, what is it, 256 gig NVMe's, and I got some 500 gig NVMe's coming in. So, yeah, I guess I got to print some more cases. And if anybody's listening and they're getting a Radaxa 5B and they have a 3D printer and they want a case for it and I don't publish it between now and, which it, if it's published by me, it'll be on Thingiverse under Flying Rich. But if I don't have it, hit me up. Let's see, like orders@flyingrich.com is a good email that I'll read. I'll be able to send you the STL ad.
Nice. Yeah, I may look at that Radaxa. Not for a Christmas present, because I already got mine. So.
Can I ask people tech questions, like what they got for Christmas? Is that a fair question to go around the room?
Or what we're going to get? We're already.
It's a little early to ask.
Yeah, it's a little early. What I did is I wanted another laptop bag. And I bought a Tom Bin brain bag, and Tom Bin is made in America. It's made in Seattle, Washington. And it cost $230. I spent close to $400 buying some accessories for it, but haven't got to do anything beyond I had a doctor's appointment, and happens to be I think I was the only one in that day when I had that doctor's appointment, so I took my phone with me and laptop just in case we got a P1 while I was at the doctor's. And that's what I used to carry it. There wasn't anything else but the MacBook in it. But the thing I like about it is the laptop compartment isn't directly built into it. It's basically a what they call a cache, or basically it's like a squishy envelope that you put your laptop in. And the nice thing is if I buy a smaller one, I can go, instead of buying a whole new backpack, I can buy a smaller one, use this backpack with it. So, you know, and those were about 48 a piece. So, it sounds expensive, and it is expensive, but it's worth every dollar because I have stuff made by them that's over 20 years old and looks fantastic.
You don't overstuff and throw like 3 15-inch laptops in
the slot. I can with this one.
Fit one.
I can with this one, actually. As long as I got like one, like actually, for when I go down to my dad's, I do have to carry my MacBook because unfortunately I'm on call on Christmas Eve, which sucks. But it's just P1s. I don't have to do P2s, P3s, or P4s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's not going to happen too much. But I've got an Amazon.
Guess what I'm on call for? Guess. Guess.
Nothing.
I work for a global organization. Nothing. Not a freaking thing.
I'm on call.
Yeah. But anyway, I've got one of them Amazon Basics makes sleeves that you can put your laptop in, which are kind of nice if you have to stick it in a bag that doesn't have a dedicated compartment. So I have one of those.
You mean your $400 bag doesn't have a compartment?
No, I just said you had to buy the caches if you need one. But I don't really need any more than
the
one I have.
The best backpack I've had over the years, in most backpacks I usually rip something off of in the first few days of ownership accidentally.
Damn.
The Low Pro has been a frickin' champion.
The Low Pro makes good stuff.
I got the Swiss Army.
Say that again, Joe.
I got the Swiss Army.
Victorinox.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they look really heavy duty also. The Low Pro, I asked a buddy of mine for advice, and he said Low Pro, and that thing, I'm shocked.
Yep.
I have not, and I don't
know
how many years
he used. Pro photographers use them. So, I mean, yep. And they're carting heavy lenses and stuff in them all day. So, I mean, the Low Pro stuff I've had has been good. But the other thing I like about Tom Bin is they have more colors than black and gray.
Yeah. What? There's another color?
Yeah, there is. Mine's actually purple. But yeah.
So I've got a beef. First off, the Low Pro, everything is like neon orange on the inside. which is
that's actually not
brilliant.
Horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which, because if everything's black,
sounds like that
background
minus tech tips.
Right.
Yeah, it's like if everything's stink black and all of your cables are black and all of your components yep. that you're putting in there are black, good luck on ever finding anything.
Yeah,
right. I can understand so that the contrast is helpful.
Yeah, yes. I definitely like the neon orange internals. That's a big plus.
Mine's like
a
light blue.
You actually have a hope of finding something.
Mine's like a light bluish color. I wish I'm trying to remember the name of it. They have a yellow lining that they put in some of their bags, which wasn't available on this one. But mine came with a light blue, and that's another thing I like about them because they do that on all their bags. Is they put a if not a completely contrasting one, when they do put a black liner in there, there'll be white lines through the liner, so you can leave. That helps a little, not as much. Solar, I think, is what they call the yellow one. That's my favorite liner, but it wasn't available on this one. The blue ones, blue Cerulean is the color, or Cerulean's a fabric, but that's nice. And I'm also a big believer in packing cubes, and I ordered the other ones. Things I ordered with this one was I ordered a snake charmer, which means all my charging cables can go into that. My MacBook one fits in that, but I can put like an iPhone and an iPad charger, I should say, in there as well. That is, unless I pick up one of those quad chargers, which I probably will before I have to go on my next business trip. Just so I have to carry just one block. And
so I've got in my go bag, you know, so yep. in my overnight bag or backpack, you know, whichever I may be taking with me, I have a complete set of chargers and everything in there.
Yep.
So one of the goodies I have, and you can do any permutation of this, but one of the goodies I have, it's like an extension cord with a cube on the end, and it has a couple of AC ports on it, and it has
okay.
like four USB-C ports.
Yep.
And that's really good. So, you know, your watch, your headset, your phone, all of that stuff you can have
right.
plugged in and charge.
Yep. But, and I just did, I'll just see if they're still available, Rich, but our good friend Joe Bourne, he owns the Iowa Mark, AIWA. He has been making speakers and headphones for a while. Well, on Facebook a few weeks ago, he posted he had a whole bunch of the Prodigy Air Max Pros, I think they're called. Normally $50. I got them for $27.99.
And what is that?
They're Bluetooth earbuds. It's actually it's the strangest thing I've talked about before, but the charging case that you charge it with USB-C, but it also has a USB-A port on it, so you can actually charge other things from this case.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is, you know, it's only like 2,500 milliamp hours in the whole thing, but it'll charge the buds about 40 times, I think, before it's flat.
Oh, that's
nuts. I mean, it's... And they're comfortable to me. They have a little, not, you know, how some of them have the little, like a thing that kind of gets inserted in your ear, like outside, on the outside part of the ear, like a little wing.
Mm-hmm.
These have them, but they're not super huge.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really comfortable. So, I mean, I highly recommend them. I'll send you the eBay link
okay.
after the show.
Yeah, I got... So
they are still available. I ordered one tonight.
Did you? Good.
I like yep. using the Empow Jaws just because if you're okay. on, you know, on elliptical machine or whatever, running or something like that, if the stupid earbud falls out of your ears like all earbuds do on me, you know, at least the things around your neck.
Yeah.
A buddy
don't
of mine
fall out
turned
of mine.
Me. Yeah, I got a problem. Everything squirts out of my ears. So. The Ultimate Ears, buddy of mine turned me on to this. So this is the craziest thing. It's the part that goes in your ear is moldable, and it UV cures.
Okay, yeah.
It has UV LEDs in it. So you put it in your ear, and then you run the app on your phone, and it molds it, you know, cures it and molds it to the shape of your ear.
You know what you do after that?
What's that?
Get a 3D scanner. You scan the shape. And then any driver you get that you like the sound of, you just do a little bit of modification so that you can fit the driver in it and the wires through it, and you make your own.
Yep. Yep.
I wonder what you could probably use Sugru to do that.
Right.
But yeah, and I'm with you because some of them I had like a, I have a pair of AirPods for my iPad because they work really well with it for one.
I am not an Apple fanboy.
Right.
You know, I got a MacBook Pro and I plan on getting another one, but I got to tell you, the AirPods are freaking fantastic.
They are good. They're very good, and that's one of the reasons I got them. But these ones, maybe I need to upgrade them and get the Pro ones, but these ones fall out of my ear. My wife made a comment to me today
about the AirPods, I think.
Yeah.
That's them, right? About how people get the bands for them so that they don't lose them.
Oh, yes.
And basically turn them back into wired freaking headphones.
Yeah.
Do you know how many of those things my wife and daughter have been through?
Probably a lot. I would lose one every other week.
Yeah.
And
I do have...
they have repairability of zero, too, by the way.
Negative.
Yeah, I've got the Samsung whatever earbud pros, whatever the hell they are, whatever the Samsung product line is. And I got
those,
the reefers.
They're a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, they squirt out of my ears, so I very cautiously use them. So basically, I have three different frickin' headsets. I got the Empower Jaws, I got the Ultimate Ears, and I've got the whatever the Samsung product
line. Got a 3D printer, make some ear hooks.
Right?
Yeah, the ear hooks. Yeah. But yeah,
I mean, it's cheesy,
ones...
but it works.
Right.
I'm just going to put magnets in my head.
There you go.
People do that crazy things like that. It's usually their hands, but...
Yeah.
Neodymium magnet, you know, right behind your ear.
These ones, though, seem to be... They do come with other cushions, like smaller and larger cushions, but the mediums are already mounted when they're in the box. The mediums were fine with me. Your ear may vary, but I do like them, and it's worth a shot for $27, you know. But
okay, so I got the Galaxy Buds Pro.
Those ones, yeah.
December 5th, 2021. Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry, either the driver or the battery will go out soon.
Oh yeah,
probably.
Pain in the ass. Yeah.
So I'll tell you, they're USB-C, which I like. You know, the case, and it also wirelessly charges, which I like, which is nice.
Yes. Yeah, the AirPods will do that as well. But like I said, if you're wanting to string these along until they literally will not work anymore, that's not going to happen with those, because basically once the batteries are out, they're done.
The Apple wireless charging on those and on the watch, is that a proprietary wireless charging? Or
it's
will
Qi
like
charging.
No.
Any Qi work?
Yep.
Okay.
Any, yeah. Qi, Qi, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. These Iowas don't have that, and these are the older ones because they have newer ones. In fact, I can't even find these ones listed on their website anymore. So he is clearing them out, like, you know, fire sale prices. But like, and I'm really disappointed because one of these days I wanted to get one of the speakers he makes, but they've been sold out for at least a year. So it's like, you know, that I'm not going to get that. But I hope he's not shutting them down like he did with Neuros. Joe Bourne's the guy who did Neuros and the Neuros OSD, the Neuros Link, which I had and got rid of since it's way out of date now. And I don't really need it either because all my TVs have Roku built into them, and, you know, I have a Chromecast that I don't even use anymore because the Rokus also can be Chromecasted too.
Yep.
So it's like I just don't use them. But, I do have my Stadia controller downstairs. I should drag it up here and start tinkering with the damn thing, since it's pretty much done at this point. But because Google beat
the drivers
Google.
For it.
Yeah, I wish they would. I mean, I don't care. Well, actually,
never.
Yeah. Well,
never.
Did you see? You see, Linus had a dev box once for Stadia.
Another product in the Google graveyard.
Yeah, Stadia. their gaming. But it also makes me wonder when Amazon's going to cancel Luna, which is the same thing, but for Amazon. You know.
Well, they've been kind of dialing that up recently, haven't they?
That's what I thought. I've been seeing it all over Amazon's website because. You know,
play these games.
I only order stuff off of Amazon about once a week, so.
Once? I'm on a first name basis with the driver.
I was going to say. Did you thank your driver before they stopped it?
You mean 10 minutes after they started it?
Yeah. They had a thing with if you thanked them via Alexa, they would give the driver $5.
Yeah, I didn't even know about it until after it was stopped.
I told my daughter, I'm like, hey, you know, call Alexa, because she has an Alexa. I'm like, thank our driver.
Right.
Why did they stop it? The drivers were getting too much cash?
Probably.
They maxed it out.
Yeah, it was only like $1 million. Yeah, $1 million or something like that.
Total.
Oh.
You can still thank them, and they'll get it, but it's not. They're not getting that like $5.
The five bucks. Yeah, somebody did the math on it, and they said if it was spread evenly amongst all the drivers, the most they could get was like $18 or something. Now, granted, the people that got the most thanks, like the top three or top five or something, got $10,000 bonuses.
Wow.
But when you're talking about that many people, what's the statistical probability?
We're still seeing... Dang. Well, that's the other thing. I have to look and see, because I saw Doug DeRiro did a video on the Rivian Amazon trucks.
Oh,
so the electric EEP trucks. I'll have to watch that video. But I have not seen one of those. The only ones I ever see are the Dodge Sprinters or the Dodge Ram Vans. Mm-hmm. That's about all I ever see here. In fact, it's like every Sunday, I swear, every Sunday I go to church, I go through 665 to 23, because my church is not far off 23. And at that light, there is always at least six Amazon trucks at the light when I'm there every Sunday. About, you know, we're talking about 9 o'clock in the morning, yeah. So it's like, yeah, I know the facility. Actually, the facility, I think, is actually not far from our old houses. I think Pony Express, I think, runs them, I think. I can't remember. But I see the Amazon trucks, I see them everywhere. But I have not seen...
Just like dead people?
The Rivian one. Yeah, right.
I think we have two warehouses right around the corner from me.
So there's a warehouse
like 10 miles from my place that Tracy Holtz delivers to.
Oh, yeah? Nice. I miss him. And I probably won't be going down.
Me too. Now that he's moved to Pennsylvania, I'm sorry, Florida, I've never seen him again.
Now that he's a neighbor. It's funny, the trip I took in 2019, which is the last time I met you in person, I think, Rich, when we ate at the Winter Park Fish Company.
Yep.
I probably won't be going down there again. Because my new team's all based out of Reston in the D.C. area. So at least...
Yeah, I don't leave my house anymore, so I won't be
I hardly do, too. You know, so in September, we have a training week for our team. And I had to go there, which I'm okay with, because at least now Washington Metro has a Silver Line there. So I can literally – the station is like literally in the parking lot for our company. So, you know, I could park the rental car there and then go have some fun somewhere else in D.C., you know. But
hey, guys, I want to beat Alan to the punch. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Merry Christmas.
Have a good one. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
But it'll
safe
be...
New Year.
Let's see. Next Wednesday is what? The 21st.
Yeah, I won't be here next Wednesday because it's my wife's birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Aaron.
She says you're welcome. Thank you.
Happy birthday. Oh, did you guys hear about High on Life? Game?
High on Life, no.
Oh, it's like Savage Planet, right?
Yeah, well, it's a looter shooter, but it's a comedic looter shooter, and it's got, like, the bunch of the voices from Rick and Morty. But evidently, the game has 4 full-length movies in it that you can watch.
Interesting.
Like, if you sit down in front of a TV or go to a movie theater after you've unlocked the movie theaters, depending on how far you are in the game, there's 4 movies that you could potentially watch.
Hmm.
Are they any good?
No, they're garbage movies. What is it? Teresa and the T-Rex or something like that? Or Tammy and the T-Rex? Vampire Hookers, Blood Harvest,
and
Demon Wind.
Are these public domain old horror movies that they have in there or something? Because, like, do you say Blood Feast?
Blood Harvest.
Oh, Blood Harvest.
Harvest.
From 1987. Demon Wind is from 1990. Vampire Hookers is from 1978. And I don't remember what year the other one was from.
Vampire Hooker sounds interesting.
Interesting concept.
Yeah, 4 full-length movies in it.
Now, instead, I've been watching crap that I've watched before over and over again.
1994.
I watched Endgame again last night.
Yeah. Well, that makes how long is the game itself?
From what I understand, people are saying that the gameplay itself was a little bit shorter than they would have liked. I haven't played the game or anything to tell you. I just saw that and thought it was interesting that it had 4 full-length movies in it that you could sit down and watch if you wanted.
How is the quality of those movies in there?
Probably not that great, I would assume.
Yeah, considering they'd be digitized, and the original source on those is probably very shitty.
I don't know. Tammy and the T-Rex is from 1994.
Yeah, it's not going to be HD, though. But...
just because it didn't air... HD doesn't mean that you can't get it in 21 UHD.
Depends if it was shot in 70mm or something. Or 120, which they've been known to do. Yeah. I'm in the TV doldrums because it's December and there's nothing really great coming until February time frame, I think.
You got Netflix? You watched Troll yet?
No, I wouldn't have watched Troll in the first place.
Why?
Not something I'm into.
That's just a giant monster movie, man. How could you not be into that?
I never was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I still haven't watched Black Adam yet.
Black Adam.
Bring the Rock Johnson.
Now, I have finished, like a lot of the Netflix series that I've watched, I've finished all of them. Well, and some of them are already completely done anyway, like FS for Family is done.
Did you watch Wednesday?
I have not.
Good.
I got partway through the second season of Space Force, and I'm like, what did they do? Season 1 was actually pretty funny. This is not.
Have you ever watched the movie Psycho Gorman?
No.
You should watch that. Good movie.
I've never heard of it. I've heard the name.
I blame Mordency for me watching it, mostly because it's his fault.
Yes.
I started watching that series, Servant, you know, the M. Night Shyamalan and Ding Dong series. It's okay. It's weird.
My Night, right?
Has anybody watched Willow?
Is it out?
Bad. It's bad.
It is.
It's bad?
It's bad? Okay, I've heard something. I think it's really good. Cheesy. Yeah, that's
They put money into it, but it kind of sucks.
Well, considering Val Kilmer was in the movie originally, and he's
not acting,
not physically able to act anymore.
Well, no, he's getting cancer. Around pretty good. Last I saw, he just, you know, has one of those voice boxes, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got head or cancer.
That's why he always wears a scarf.
Yep, it has long hair.
And then there's another show that came out on Netflix Australia. I think it's currently on Peacock, called Irreverent, that I want to watch.
What's the show that, the new Quantum Leap, I haven't watched yet either.
I have. It was okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't anything overly exciting, but...
How can you improve on the original?
They tried. Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. I did watch the holiday special. I did watch that.
Is it as bad as the Star Wars one was?
No, it is really not as bad. Nobody seemed to be coked out of their gourds.
Right.
I kind of was expecting them all to be like, you know, buzzed out of their minds and nothing.
Well, and the Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I gotta admit, I haven't watched all of Guardians of the Galaxy that came before yet.
One and two?
Yeah.
Well, Doom Patrol started back up. They're on episode two. I haven't watched any of that yet. Well, any of the new season. And Rick and Morty, I'm like three episodes behind.
The bowling one didn't even make a year. How We Roll was canceled after the first year last year.
Go Thankfully, figure, good. Huh?
It was horrible, to be honest. I was kind of excited about it. I thought, hey, maybe Luke might actually watch TV for once. Nope. It was pretty awful. It's like, yeah. Well, like I said, they couldn't really go the technical direction on it, so they kind of treated it like bowling was like it was in the 50s, and it's completely really different now. So it didn't really work. I gotta see when my Black Rifle Coffee gets here.
I'm still waiting for the next season of Lupin. Don't know when that's coming out. Netflix.
Did you ever
watch Lupin?
No.
Really good.
And I did like reading Ready Player 2, but I'm like, I'd like to see the movie on that one.
Well, they'll probably change quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. It'll make it follow the original movie, which is different than a book, unfortunately.
What happens in Ready Player 2? I mean, what's the premise on that one?
So, basically, Wyatt and the High Five, Wyatt specifically gets more things from what's his face? The guy that died. Anyway, so in the book, he reveals to him a direct interface through the brain to the Oasis. And when you're using it, not only can you see and hear everything, but you can smell everything and you can feel things and you can record, like,
memories.
You could wear,
like, yeah. Actual physical sensation memories.
Yeah. And it's a little freaking weird. But then the Anorak avatar, that was at the end of the movie, kind of loses his shit.
He was supposed to self-delete, but then, like, didn't.
Yes. So that's kind of the premise. And
a whole nother, like... game within a game thing.
Yes.
Where they're supposed to know all this crap, and basically Wyatt knows nothing, and then there's this other group of people that come in to help that actually do know this stuff, so...
And it's not, and this challenge isn't necessarily one that you can actually, that just anybody can win. I think only the high five can. Right. So, it's only basically the high five, and it all, the big reason they have to win is because people who are attached to the Oasis will die.
Yeah, they're stuck in it. They can't leave.
Yep, they can't leave. So...
And there's a supposed kill switch that will, you know, off everybody, and not. But, yeah, in the end, well, if you don't mind the spoiling the last bit.
Right.
The other guy that was the partner of the guy that died, Oz, or whatever his name was, well, he ends up getting seriously hurt in a car crash because he refused. Yep. He also had refused up until then to use that interface.
O-N-I.
Yeah. And then he uses the interface to be able to help out the high five one last time because, well, his body wasn't working well enough to use a regular rig. But the brain interface allowed him to just be able to think what he was doing. And he's dying the whole time, but he's helping them out. And then you find out that everybody that uses one of those interfaces gets their entire brain recorded and stored.
Yep.
And how Wyatt was talking about building a ship and traveling off into nowhere with a copy of the Oasis. Well, he had started building that ship. And instead of him getting onto the ship, or anybody actually physically getting onto the ship and going off with it, copies of everyone got sent there, but they could only power like up to like 15 or 20 at a time. Can't remember the exact number. So everybody's backed up there. It gets launched off into space. The high five are chatting there at the end. And they say he never wore one of those brain interfaces ever again.
Yep.
But yeah,
which I don't think we ruined the whole entire story because there's a lot of story.
Yeah, what actually happened is we just gave the ending. That's all. And
basically,
yeah, what happened all in the middle that was really cool, but it's essentially just more tasks and a little bit difficult to explain. There was a lot more free for all fighting and different movies that you had to go through. Sometimes it was a movie. Sometimes it was something else.
There we go, right?
And it's 10 o'clock.
TikTok. Time to go.
Yeah.
So, maybe we may have a show to record next week. Dan won't be there. I can. I don't leave for Tennessee until Friday. So if we don't have a show next week, I am on vacation the week after, so I can definitely make a show then. And that's because I'll be home, because we're coming home like Tuesday. So
yeah, I'm off the week after Christmas.
Same. So, but important to note, Hacker Public Radio, they're doing a New Year's thing again.
Yep.
I should be on there.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll make it on there because it's New Year's Eve is when the Ohio State Buckeyes play Georgia. Probably going to get creamed too, but maybe not. Maybe they may surprise me. Put up some charcuterie and maybe watch the ball drop. I don't know.
Dun, dun, dun.
right. I have not been awake during the ball drop the last 2 or 3 years.
Cause you old, man. You old. I have.
Or I haven't. I the only part of the show I watched last 5 minutes of it. If that, but it's like Ryan. I can't take Ryan Seacrest for more than a few minutes. And most of the music they play on there is garbage anyway.
Every year it's so. The same thing for us. It's, oh my goodness, 10 minutes till the ball drops. Let's see if we can find a live feed on YouTube or something.
Right, right.
And it's like, is this the right feed? Was this from last year? What's going on?
Right?
What's janky? Yeah.
And then you get up in the morning and you put some pork and sauerkraut on. Or at least I do.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I always eat the first day of the year.
Alright.
And mostly because I like it, but sometimes I hope it actually gives me some luck, but you know.
What are we going to say?
I was going to say goodnight, everybody.
That's well, right.
I'm going to say Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy
Christmas to
you. I'll be here for between Christmas and New Year's. But happy holidays, everything that goes with it. Safe and happy times, safe trips. And
yes, sir.
We'll see you next week and whatever. If everybody record, just send me the recording and I'll post it.
We'll do, sir.
It'll be a whole like 2 hours of Joel just, you know, talking about his house.
Fart.
I haven't talked about the house in a while.
I know, but if you're here by yourself, that's what'll happen.
I mean, the only thing that's gone wrong lately is I've got a sensor on a security system in my bedroom that needs looked at. But
you know what? Here's something that was in the news that happened, I believe, down in Chesapeake, and it's not another Walmart shooting, but it just reminded me of it when we talk about Joel's house because you are in a homeowners association, right?
Yes, sir.
So apparently. There is this development where, like, there's three parts to the development, and two parts are under this homeowners association.
Right.
And this third part used to be under a homeowners association, but there was, like long time ago, decades ago, like 2 decades ago or something, there's just, like, it was totally corrupt and I guess the guy embezzled money from it and they disbanded it.
Oh.
Right? So this whole section of this community has not been under this homeowners association. And one of the houses apparently went up for sale and there was renovation going on it. And they're still trying to figure out what happened. But, like, shortly after that house went up for sale, this towing company came in. Actually, it's not in Chesapeake. It's in closer to Northern Virginia. What was I? I'm getting things crossed. But this towing company came in and put up signs and say, if you're not registered with us, we're going to tow you. Because they're with the other homeowners association, the other two sections. And they just came in and like started towing like 10 people who's been living there for like all this time.
30 years, yeah.
Yeah. They just started towing their coals out, towing their cars out of there. And people are like, what the hell is going on? This isn't the Homeowners Association. They're like, it is now.
No, it isn't.
And it's
you
like,
have to agree to that crap in order for your property to be a part of the Homeowners Association.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem. Right. That's the problem. They're like, and they're like they're trying to figure out what's going on, like how could this, like how is this happening, and the count, like they're trying to contact people in this at this or city or county, and they're like, we can't help you with anything.
And that's screwed up, man.
Like the homeowners association people won't talk to them.
No, don't talk to them. Talk to your lawyer. Have your lawyer talk to them.
Well, I guess that's you're going right. to have to get the lawyers and stuff involved. But that's all I heard. It's like this crazy thing, man.
You know what it sounds like is that organization was probably set up. There was a HOA in my old neighborhood, too. But we met exactly once and did not meet again. The only thing they wanted to do was put stone pillars at the end of the neighborhood, and that was it. And the leadership that were like, we don't want to have to do everything. It's like, well, you're a president for a community organization. You're going to do everything. In my neighborhood, it's a different setup. There's literally a company. We haven't had a meeting yet, okay, because we have to have a certain amount of the area occupied. Okay, I forget what the number is. But like all those houses that we're building behind me are almost all done and nobody's in them. There's like five families back there and that's about it. And there's like at least 10 to 15 houses. My brother-in-law, he had his house on the market for 2 months. Finally got an offer. So it's bad here. A lot of people say there's a real estate shortage in the country. Not here. Because there's houses that have been unoccupied for 6 months or more back here. So, I mean, it's crazy. But back to the HOA stuff. Eventually, we will have meetings and stuff like that, but it's managed by a company, and we pay our fees to a company, and they have a contract for our section, the patio section, where I don't have to do any grass mowing or any yard work, period. I'm okay with it. The only thing I don't like is if I ever get hardcore into wanting to put a antenna up, they're going to bark about it. So, and I'm kind of okay with that. I'm more into the mobile operating with radio anyway, mobile and portable. So, you know, if I put up an antenna for a weekend to work some radio from my screen room, that'll be fine. I'm happy with that because I don't have time for it anyway. Because with HF radio, you know, you have to, you know, You might not get an opening until 2 or 3 in the morning, and it's like, yeah, I'm sleeping.
I gotta go.
All right,
I gotta tell my son to go to bed.
It's good north. Night, everybody. Yeah, good night. It's North Stafford up in Fredericksburg. I posted the article in the IRS in the chat. Anyway,
they need to.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
All right, here are the promos. I'm playing this out. Take it away.
I am short.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
I got to bake more cookies this weekend.
good luck, sir.
We celebrated my father-in-law's 80th birthday.
Oh, good for him.
I know, right? I didn't think he'd make it that far. Alright, I'm gonna hop off of here. And have a Merry Christmas if I don't see you before.
Well, you too, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Right, let's start the recording.
Comfortable, and then it's just not designed for that. But like I said, you know, it gets, you know, decent mileage and stuff. It's running a little bit now because it's cold now, so it's a little bit less. I'm waiting for the battery. It's under that recall for the battery, even though we're pretty sure it doesn't affect mine. But they just did it for all of them. So I'm like, yeah, give me a new battery. 5,000 miles on it, go for it. I'll take a new battery and another 8 years of battery insurance on it, though.
Right.
Actually, I have to call them and find out what the hell's going on with that. But I mean, it runs really nice. A little stiff. Yeah, it's a small car, so you feel all, you know, like all of the bumps because it's a tiny car. It's all, you know, it's outside, it's all plastic, like most cars are nowadays.
Yeah, I guess I've like gotten it. Spoiled on the level of car I've been driving.
Supposedly the new ones that they came out with for the Bolts last year's, or this year's, excuse me, and next year, because I think it's only this year and next year, then the platform changes again. They fixed the interior, make it look more like a car as opposed to something like, you know, some experimental thing that just they never retooled. I want to get down to the dealer and actually sit in one to see if it's actually more comfortable. That's what people are saying, but I haven't actually sat in one yet. If it's more comfortable, I'd be like, okay, what do you give me for mine? I want comfort.
Right. Yeah.
13,000 miles on it in 2 years, so. The virtues of working from home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't even know how many miles I put on a car a year.
Well, normally at this point, I would probably be about 30, at least, for a new car. At least 30.
For a new car? Yeah. Do you need a new car, Alan?
No, I've got I bought one. 2 years ago, I bought about a 20.
It's not hot, yeah.
Like something. Next time I go to the dealer, I'm going to see about sitting in a new one of the Bolts and see if it's more comfortable. And right. If it is, I might talk trade.
Yeah, the seats were pretty awful in the first generation one.
Yeah, I mean, you could do it, but like I wouldn't be doing no 8-hour trips in a damn thing. You definitely want to stop every
really
2 hours.
Drive that far anyway.
I was going to say.
Well, no, you couldn't, but yeah, you'd definitely be looking for like, okay, it's time to recharge. Yeah, my ass is going to thank me now. So
it would take you an extra 3 hours to get just to get to Ohio.
No, actually, I think I figured it out. It was probably about two.
Okay.
Two more than what it was. I figured it out one time just for the hell of it.
You were going to have to stop in the middle and charge for 2 hours.
No, you can hit up the Charge America sites.
Right.
You just have to hope that, you know, like the Charge Americas are actually not filled up at the time.
And I don't think even the newer Bolts have the faster charging though.
No, they don't. They are unfortunately one of the slowest charging electric cars on the market. Like I said, I really don't care, you know, if it takes me, you know, 30 minutes to charge versus 10. I'm just going to walk around anyways.
Right.
Well, one of the things, like the early Prius, before they had officially had a plug-in hybrid, there were hacks to put a second battery in and run it as a plug-in. And
yeah.
I'd love to be able to do that on my wife's car, but, you know, nobody has a kit for that.
Rich, can you just go suck it? Yeah, Dan.
Joel, that was not nice. How you doing, Rich? It's good to see you.
Good.
Actually, my favorite thing, and we can talk about this on the show, I guess, but if you've watched Aging Wheels, he's going to put Tesla motors in his bus project, but he's going to put them in a Ford Escape first, which will be interesting.
Well, you I mean, you're standard charging at that point. I don't think you even have fast charging. If you're using Tesla parts outside of a Tesla, I don't even think you have fast charge at that point. I think you're strictly level. You're level two, and that's all you need to get out of it.
Yeah, unless you can figure out the circuitry on that.
I think even if you figure out the circuitry, I think it's because it calls home.
Yeah.
Your car is registered with them.
You couldn't use a supercharger, but you can use other ones.
Yeah, but
the car is registered. Is the motor
registered? I think people that I've seen that have done the Tesla stuff on there, you don't get the fast charging stuff out. You get normal level two.
Right.
But you can't like pull up to like to a Charge America or anything like that and charge faster like that.
Yeah, because the charging circuit has nothing to do with the motors themselves. But getting a Tesla charging circuit, it's going to be a different story. So you have to go with pretty much something standard.
Because I think those guys that even like the people that are rebuilding the crash Teslas and stuff, he takes them off the super. You know, they take them off the supercharger network, so you can't even do anything other than level two with them. Even if you have an actual Tesla.
Now, trying to remember, I think it was Simone Gertz who did the conversion of a Model 3 to a pickup truck.
Well, that's okay because she actually still owns that. Yeah, she owns that car, so she can do whatever the hell she wants. But it's a guy up in New England, the black guy up in New England that does all the car repair stuff. I cannot remember his name.
Well, Rich Rebuilds, you're talking about?
Yeah, I think Rich Rebuilds, that's it. He did a Tesla one before he did the gas power version of it. And he couldn't get them to unlock the supercharger stuff. And I've read that in other places too. If you buy off, off of one of these crash sites and rebuild it. For original owners, I think you get charged now for a supercharger.
Yeah, that's probably, new owners, you probably do, but that's probably why they're not letting it happen, because of the initial chargers.
It wouldn't surprise you if absolutely nothing was free at Tesla anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elon's lost so much money this year.
Oh, really?
I want to get in on his Twitter auction stuff.
He's no longer the richest man in the world. He's now the second richest man.
Well, you need another Keurig, Joel?
Yeah, that's right. I won those three Keurigs on when they were getting rid of all the electronic classroom of tomorrow crap that my son did have the unfortunate opportunity to go to for a year. But I want a chair because I guarantee you that those chairs are like brand new because then nobody ever sat in them because they're too busy sitting over at the coffee bar or playing foosball or something, getting their custom espresso shot.
Yeah. Time to start the show.
Yeah,
it's 8:37.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Doba. You should close this out with that, man. It's been years.
I don't know where it is.
I was going to say, I was Googling it for them the other day, and I couldn't find it.
I have it somewhere.
Now,
oh, you know, last time we went through this,
you don't have the 10 CD set anymore?
Oh, I have the CDs still. I'm just saying I have to look at where I have the electronic copies. I think I know where they are.
Goat, your mom's all over YouTube, so that's easy to find.
Well, you're the one that's looking, I guess, not me. I haven't looked at that.
Can you crack?
All right, this is 9:83. Anyway,
guess here I should log on the IRC, huh?
Here we go, 9:83. Murph's on IRC, of course.
Hey, Murph.
Give him a big old high hug.
Murph, who's got a Raspberry Pi 400 on the way, or hopefully there already.
I got you all beat.
Didn't he get it? He won it.
He didn't have it last week, but he won it at OLF. Oh, he got it today. Cool.
Oh, so they didn't have it there? They
no,
gave
but Murph wasn't there. He was online. Oh, so they had to mail it to him.
That's right. Okay.
He was watching the streams online, which... it would have been nice if they would have stopped the stream between talks, but no. They got two big, long, multi-hour YouTube streams.
They should have had Noah there to do it. Then it would have worked out just fine, right?
Oh, dear God, please. Noah. Anyway. Yeah.
All right.